Okay, so we're reading about a statement that Jesus made. It can be found in John chapter 8, verses 31 to 59. It's the eighth I am statement in John's Gospel. Beginning at verse 31, Jesus spoke to those Jews who had believed him.
If you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?
Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So, if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you're looking for a way to kill me, because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I've seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father.
Abraham is our father.
If you were Abraham's children, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you're looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father.
We are not illegitimate children. The only father we have is God himself.
If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I haven't come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you don't believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God.
Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?
I do not have a demon, but I honour my father, and you dishonour me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death.
Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?
If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad.
You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?
Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.
So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the word of God that is literally lifted from scripture that we have just read. So there you have a discussion between the Jews and Jesus. And what I want to look at as we look at these I am statements is our response to the I am statements. So their response, their first immediate response was stones. So there Jesus is declaring himself to be I am. Why did they pick up stones? I think the reason they picked up stones is because they really understood the significance of his statement. If we look back in Exodus 3, 13 to 15, Moses was going to, he saw a burning bush, he went up, and God said to him, I want you to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And he said, but who shall I say sent me? And that's when God says to him, I want you to say, I am, has sent you. I am. So the Jews would have heard that story repeated at all their festivals. So they knew the name of God is I am. So when Jesus said, I am, he was saying, I am God. And they could not believe that the God who split the universe, split the waters, would actually come down in a physical human being. No, we're rejecting that. And so at the end of our reading there, we see they picked up stones to throw at him. And we may not be picking up physical stones to throw at him, but when things come up in our lives that we know God is saying, we need to do something, we need to be somewhere, we need to do the right thing, sometimes our hearts can be hard. We can say no. There's a little bit of stoniness that comes into our hearts and we say no. I remember a friend of mine who I'm still praying for. She went to a gospel meeting and she heard about the saving power of Jesus. And when the altar call came up and they said, does anybody want to give their lives to Jesus? She kind of was wanting to go. And she said, yeah, and I looked around and I saw what the Christians were looking like. And I thought, you know what? I don't want to be like one of them. It's a bit sad on whatever church she was in at the time. However, that was 20 years ago. She has not given her life to the Lord in all that time. Bit of stoniness crept in, and I have witnessed to her, and a little bit of, and she was telling me that story as like, well, I've already had the offer, thanks, you know, so no thanks. And sometimes, you know, we can be like that. We have an invitation to do something, to do the right thing, and we can say, oh no, we ignore that little conscience, that little prick in our hearts, and that's when a stoniness comes in. And Hebrews 3:10 says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Some people believe that Jesus is a good person. He did all right. Even Muslims acknowledge that he was a prophet. But they don't acknowledge that he was the Son of God. And in 1 John 4, 1-3, it tells us that by this will you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming and is already in the world. So we need to be very careful that we are not just putting Jesus into the good old chap type category, a good fellow like, what's her name, Mother Teresa. He's just another Mother Teresa. Jesus is God, and we shouldn't close our hearts or harden our hearts. So one response is stoning. Hopefully none of us will say, yes, that's the one I want. Another response is believing. It's believing. Believing that Jesus is God. And to believe means to hold something as true in your heart without necessarily having that physical evidence. It's to hold something as an opinion, to believe. If we look in the Bible in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And goes on to say that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God. As many as received him, as many as believed in him. How do you believe in Jesus? How do you become a Christian? You have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you can become a Christian. But it's not just about the one-off believing. It's about continuing to believe. We see in Mark chapter 9, the father of a mute boy. He was demon possessed, and he would froth at the mouth, and he would throw him all over the place, and the father was just at his wit ends. He had done everything he could. Can you imagine seeing your son in such agony and pain, not knowing whether he was going to hurt himself the next minute or, you know, would be cuts and bruises all over. And he came and he said, Jesus, if you can, have compassion on me. Please do something for my child. And Jesus didn't immediately say, okay. And he said to the man, if you can believe, all things are possible. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And the man just thought about it for a minute and he just wept and said, you know, I do believe. Help my unbelief. I have prayed that prayer so many times. I do believe. Help my unbelief. So there are degrees of belief, I think. You know, sometimes you can believe God is going to help you in a situation, but there's a little bit of doubt that say, but what if he doesn't? And that's the little bit that I ask God to help me for. You know, I know that God's going to do it, but what if he doesn't? And that little inkling, that little doubt, just give that back to God. I do believe. And it was enough. Jesus said, you just need a grain of mustard seed. You know how small a mustard seed is? Tiny, tiny. That's how much faith you need to move a massive mountain. So I think every one of us has got that much faith. Believing. And going on beyond that believing is trusting. That's another response to the I am. The fact that Jesus is God. We trust him. We trust him. If you remember Jairus, he was a leader in the synagogue. And his daughter was ill, so he went to Jesus. And Jesus got waylaid on the way by somebody else needing a miracle. And in that little delay, or I don't know if it was the delay, but something happened to the daughter that was back. She died. And they said, don't bother Jesus anymore. It's too late. It's dead. It's done. It's over. And what did Jesus say to him? In the Good News version, Jesus turns to him and says, don't be afraid. Keep trusting. Keep trusting. Sometimes it looks like the situation is going from bad to worse. I think of our sister Kath's situation. I remember I was in a similar situation when I had an operation. And I'd gone home. I was doing very well. And then I was going up to bed and my whole shirt was full of blood. And so I had to be rushed back to hospital. It's in these moments that you realize that, okay, what do I do now? Keep trusting. That's what you do. You keep trusting. And even though it looks like things are going pear-shaped, you keep trusting. And Jairus had his daughter raised back to life again. The man had his son healed again. And these were responses to Jesus. Sometimes these things are really just to strengthen our faith. They strengthen our faith. Sometimes, it used to be, especially when I just became a Christian, I would pray for something and 2 seconds later I would get that answer. Now it's taken a lot longer. There's something that a physical ailment I've been praying about since January. I'm thinking, God, you know, when is this? When are we going to be over this? You know, so eventually I went to the doctors and eventually I've got another appointment now. And it seems to be taking long. But I do believe in a powerful God. I do believe that God is the one that heals me. And despite the physical evidence to the contrary, I'm going to hold fast to that belief and keep on trusting. I want to do a bit of an experiment with trust, with my two ladies here. If you would come out here. Yep, you two. Come on out. Trust. Now, how much do you trust your mother? 10 out of 10. Excellent. Wonderful. Right. So what we're going to do is a good trusting exercise. And for the people that are listening, what I'm doing, I have a mother and a daughter. And the daughter is going to be here. And she's just going to fall back. You mustn't bend your knees. She's just going to fall back, and her mother is going to catch her. Okay, fall back now. Okay, now you're trying to look back. Don't look back. Okay, step forward a little bit. Okay. Right, okay, go. Go. Ah, okay, well, there you go. She got you, got you. Now, I don't want to put a spanner in your relationship, but a little step back is a little lack of trust there. So, okay, so you stay there. Don't step back. And right, you fall back. Don't step back. Right, just fall. completely trust. Well done. Excellent. Right, go and sit down. Right. Now, I used to do that when I was in a youth club, and we actually used to get the young people to stand up onto high and things, but because of health and safety, I won't get you to stand up on something. And we would get the rest of the young people to form, to hold hands together, and the young person up there would have to fall down into their arms. But basically, that is just a demonstration of trust. You can't see what God is doing. And the song we sang earlier on, even though I don't see it, you're working. It's about trusting God. She trusted her mother without stepping back. She trusted her mother and she fell back. And one of the responses to the fact that Jesus is God is to trust him. You know, God, I remember going into hospital and Esther, who used to come here, and I was a little bit, I was just wondering what's going to happen. You know, will I pass out under the anesthetic? You know, and she just said, God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne. God is still God. And if God is God, and he still is God, then we should trust him. You know, and whatever we're doing, even though it feels like we're falling and we're in midair, we need to trust that God's got you. God has got you. He's got you. He's got you. So that is the third thing. And the other thing that the other response is to tell others. There was a woman at a well when Jesus was passing through Samaria, and she was had a number of issues. She had a chaotic lifestyle, and Jesus revealed himself to her. I who speak to you am he, the Messiah. And her response was to immediately run into the town and tell others, come and see a man who told me all that I... Could this be the Messiah? And the whole town went out to him. And that's so much so that Jesus had to stay there a few days. And a number of people believed in Jesus. If this church is going to get full, it's you that are going to bring people in. You know, if God is God, why are you keeping it to yourselves? Can you imagine if AstraZeneca found the cure to vaccination, and they just said, okay, we're just going to do our staff, just us few here. You know, we found it. Haven't we done really well? Let's just all inoculate ourselves, have a couple of jabs, and go home. You know, that wouldn't be very good, would it? You know, but how much so are us here in this little home? We have the word of eternal life. And why are we keeping it to ourselves? We need to proclaim. And it's a decision. My husband and I made a decision that, you know what? What if we don't see different people again? You know, there was a couple we met outside a hotel. We had this amazing conversation about Ireland and this and what to see in this town. And we never once mentioned Jesus. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, what have we got to lose? Why don't we say, you know, do you know the Savior? Something. And so we made a decision and we started to pray that we would have those opportunities. And so the very next day, I had an opportunity to share with somebody who we'd met on a cruise. We'd met them for lunch, and I had an opportunity to share with this person about, but have you ever given your life to Jesus? Because he goes to church, but have you ever given your life to Jesus? I suspect he's not a true Christian. He's not a born-again Christian. And it was great. I didn't lead him to the Lord then and there. That's okay. But, I made that decision that I was going to tell other people. Sometimes we've been a Christian so long, we don't know any non-Christians. Do you know what I mean? But that doesn't matter. You know, every opportunity, work people come into your house. I remember reading about a guy on the Titanic ship that sank. And he had on a life jacket, and he was swimming to everybody that was in the water. And what he would say, is your soul saved? Is your soul saved? And if they would say, yes, I know the Lord Jesus, he would swim to the next one. And he got to a guy and said, is your soul saved? And he said, no, I don't want to hear any of that rubbish. I just want to get out of the water. You go away. So he began to swim away. And then he came back and he said, you haven't got a life jacket. You're not ready to meet your maker. He took off his life jacket and he gave it to this man. He said, I know where I'm going. If I don't make it, that's okay. I'm going to be with my Jesus. And he gave the man his life jacket. That man survived, but the guy swimming didn't. Years later, that man did become a Christian. And at the reunion of the survivors of that Titanic, he gave the testimony to say, I'm standing here today alive, because of this man. But his very words, "Is your soul saved?" made him pursue and go and find who Jesus was and come to know the Lord Jesus. How many people are we interacting with? You know, just begin to think about it. If we believe that we have the cure to eternal damnation, which we do, we have the vaccination, which is believing in the Lord Jesus, then why are we not sharing that? Why are we not proclaiming it like that Samaritan woman? Okay. And it takes wisdom, and there's a balance between developing a relationship and being called a holy nut and hitting people over the head. But, you know, that's no excuse not to do it. And I believe if you make that conscious decision that I actually want to tell people about Jesus, tell people about what I believe. Like, what did you do this weekend? I went to church. Yeah, that's a conversation that starts, oh, really? What kind of church? And then, you can begin to share. Since we've made the decision, it's amazing how much, even Alex the other day, there was a saxophone player, a street player, a musician, started talking to this musician about the saxophone. And before they finished the conversation, Jesus had come into it. And they had talked to him about Jesus and about the church. So it's, again, making that decision, I think, opens up the opportunities. Okay, I'm going to leave that there. There are four responses that I've talked about to the fact that Jesus is I am. One is the stoning, a complete rejection. We don't want to know. We harden our hearts. Another is believing. Another is trusting. And another is proclaiming. So what is your response to the revelation that Jesus is God? If God is God, then what? What is our response? We're going to have a time of ministry, a time of prayer, and I'm going to give us opportunity to say some prayers for each of these points. So the first point was about stoning, hard hearts. If you believe that God has been trying to lead you to something and say something, then let's just pray a prayer of repentance. But I just want you to pray and just in the quietness of your heart, just surrender that particular area to God. If there's something that you feel that you've been a bit stubborn about, and you'll know what that is, and the Holy Spirit bring it to your mind, then just pray a prayer of repentance and just let it go. Again, on this point, if there is someone that you feel that you've been witnessing to or you've been trying to lead to a particular place who has been a bit like Pharaoh, a bit stone-hearted, let's pray for those people. I think I will take the opportunity to pray for the people in Afghanistan, the leaders, the leadership there. Heavenly Father, we do just lift up the leaders, the Taliban in Afghanistan, Lord God, with their hearts that are just so stony, it would seem, Lord God, and just callous and cruel. Father God, we pray that you would break their hearts, Lord God, and you would melt their hearts and that they would have compassion on their people. Father, that key leaders would be softened, that they would do the people good and not harm, that they would stop all this dragging out of Christians. Father God, we pray for unity in that land, Lord God, and for peace in that land. And we pray in Jesus' name. The second point is to believe in Jesus. If you have never asked Jesus into your heart and given your heart to Jesus, this would be a good time to pray. This is also a time to pray for people who are poorly. We can believe God. It doesn't matter what it looks like, but we can believe God for healing, for strength, for resolving of different issues. Perhaps we can pray also for the vision.
Lord, I pray for vision for Mills Hill. Lord, I pray that as we are stepping out into our new pathway, Lord, that you guide us, touch every heart. Lord, and show us what your vision is, Lord, because at the minute, because of how things have been with COVID and everything, we're all sort of feeling about in the dark. So, Lord, just show us really clear. We want to hear your word, we want to hear your voice, and we want to see your face. And Lord, just give us a vision for the future, a vision for our church as a whole, for our children, our youth, every one of us, Lord, the whole family, Lord. I ask this in your precious name.
Now we're going to take a moment to think about trust. What do we need to trust God more in? What areas of our lives do we need to trust God? Which ones are we stepping back? How can we just free fall back into God's arms? So how can we trust God? So just quietly to yourself, just think about, Lord, I want to trust you. And just in your mind, see yourself laying it at the feet of Jesus, laying it at the foot of the cross, trusting God, falling back into his loving arms, because he will catch you. And finally, we're going to think about proclaiming. Who do we need to proclaim the word to? Is it just a question of making a decision to be more conscious about sharing about the life that you have? Think about what you're getting up to tomorrow, where you're going, who you're going to meet. Is it about being more conscious about proclaiming the goodness of God? You have the antidote to the world's problems. Jesus is God. Okay, let's pray for the empowering of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to proclaim. So we just want to take a bit of time to just meditate on some of the things that I've said, but also just bring in the things in your heart to God. And we're going to play Mary, Did You Know? And then we're just at the end of that, we will close. So just a time of reflection. Thank you. God of endurance and encouragement, grant you to live in such harmony with one another and in union with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go in peace and serve the Lord Jesus, our God. I am. Amen.